I remember the feeling, flying around, turns, daring to try a spin. When I was growing up, the roller rink was pretty much where it was at. But today?
Who roller skates anymore?
It's not quite the pastime it used to be. But two filmmakers set out to eulogize roller rinks and found that roller skating is actually far from dead.
When you listen to music you like to skate with, it's a feeling. It's almost like on Dirty Dancing when Patrick Swayze was telling Jennifer Hewitt to explain what dancing was to him. It was that goom, 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 goom over a heart. That's what it is for us, is that goom, 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 goom for us.
That's roller skater Felicia in the new documentary United Skates, produced by Deanna Winkler and Tina Brown. And when Tina asked the question, who roller skates anymore, she was surprised to find a long, rich tradition of skating in the Black community that survived against all odds.
Little did we know that there was this thriving underground culture, and we were lucky enough to meet two African-American skaters who basically told us to follow them overnight on a bus trip from New York to Richmond, Virginia. And we literally walked into a rink at midnight where there are thousands of skaters from the African-American community, and it was just this vibrant, celebratory, amazing space. But I'm Australian and Deanna's from Hawaii and we're not roller skaters, and we're not African-American. So we definitely thought this wasn't our story to tell for a long while, and skaters kept pulling us back in and basically were saying, no, you have to make this film.
Deanna, you traveled across the United States for this. What were you able to glean from those different types of skating cultures and skating styles that you saw? Because I feel like for those of us from certain era who remember actually skating on roller skates, it's weird. Like, people don't really remember that anymore. So give us a sense of what you found.
Yeah, well, you know, as Tina was sharing, when we walked into that rink in Richmond, everyone that we met was from somewhere else. And they all kind of said, we'd love you to come to our city, our state, our rink, and see what we do and film what we do. When we were in Detroit, it comes out of Motown, for example, and the rink smells like burnt rubber because of the style that they're doing is burning the toe stops and the sides of their wheels. And if you go to Chicago, it's all based off of remixed James Brown music, and they're doing nutcrackers, which is when they jump in the air and slam down into the splits really hard, amongst other moves. And, you know, Atlanta's got its own style and sauce, and we realized that all these rinks are still segregated. We would realize that there would be much heavier policing, that there'd be metal detectors at the door that would come out that wouldn't be there on the other nights of the week. You know, and these were families taking their kids to roller skate.
The rinks are segregated. It's 2019. Mm-hmm. Where did that start?
Well, during the civil rights era and after desegregation was put in place, actually roller rinks and amusement parks and public pools were the three hardest public spaces to desegregate. And so what happened was a lot of the rink owners saw what was happening to the amusement parks and the public pools, that there was white flight happening, that those venues were shutting down. And so they basically, the roller rink managers, came up with different tactics that they used to discourage the African-American community to come every night of the week or every day of the week. And so instead of calling it a Black night only, they would give it code names like Sepia night, or eventually, you know, gospel night, until it landed on adult night. But also during that time of desegregation, they employed other tactics, like they wouldn't give the right size skates to the Black community. They would come and rent skates and they'd say, no, we don't have your size. Or they would hire thugs to trip them on the rink. And then when the Black skaters would, you know, basically stand up for themselves, the white rink owners would say, see, when Blacks are here, there's violence that happens. So from that, just two different segregated nights or days remained. And out of that, I guess, came this beautiful community and culture.
And that is so often the story of marginalized and oppressed mm-hmm. Americans of color in particular. How has this sort of stuck with the Black community and why? Deanna?
We interviewed someone who said to us, you give us a basketball and we create the slam dunk. You give us a piece of cardboard and we break dance on it. You give us skates and this is what we do. And really, you know, that is the magic that you feel with these skates. And I think this community was very quick to make clear that we hear the word segregation and we just immediately jump to bad. And the truth is, it's complicated. And so, you know, that's always the irony, that by separating cultures, there is also an authenticity and a freedom that is allowed to thrive.
But it also has influenced in many ways some big names that we've heard of, right? Queen Latifah, Dr. Dre, you know, a lot of these folks, NWA, a lot of these folks got their start at the roller rink.
Yeah, I think, you know, during the 80s, as you're mentioning, a lot of larger venues didn't allow these artists to play because they didn't think that the music was real music, or they didn't like the community that the music was attracting. And so a lot of these artists would, the only space that was large enough for them to perform in where they were welcome were black nights at the roller rink. And so many of them actually did roller rink tours where they would go from city to city, from rink to rink, to perform to large crowds. And that's how a lot of them got their start.
I remember the culture distinctly. I remember the skating distinctly. But where we are today, it feels like there are fewer and fewer skating rinks available. Tina, you're nodding your head. What's the state of skating today and of being able to preserve this culture?
Yeah, I mean, we show it in the film, but we look at rinks kind of in the heyday. It was around the 70s, but we focus from the 1980s. And there was over 5,000 rinks across the country. And till last year, there was just over 1,000. And it has to do with, you know, gentrification and the cost of these spaces. Like the land value is too high right now that to have it anywhere near the city center, it's too expensive. And these rinks are being pushed out and they can't find the spaces.
Is it also something just that kids just aren't doing anymore?
Most people don't roller skate anymore. They see it as, you know, as a throwback to another era. They have a birthday party once a year with, you know, wobbling around on rentals. And so even though it's still thriving and there are just as many kids and families going on these nights, the other nights are rather empty. And so, you know, we actually need more bodies and more people to be skating as a whole than just this one community.
Deanna Winkler and Tina Brown are directors of United Skates. It's available on HBO. Thanks to you both.
Thanks, Tina.
I have some great memories of roller skating when I was younger. Strap on some skates, go to the rink. If you haven't done it, give it a shot. And here's what you all have to say about skating yourselves.
This is Kira Person from Columbia, South Carolina. And the roller skating rink defined our childhood. It was the one place outside of school where we saw the other people that didn't live in our neighborhood. It was a place for our first kiss, first handhold, and for some of us, the first broken bone.
Hi, I'm Maureen. I'm calling from El Segundo, California. I remember Rollerama in Schenectady, New York. I took roller skating lessons there. I attended birthday parties there. I tried taking my over 6 feet tall dad out onto the rink there one time. He fell within seconds. We never tried that again. I remember the taste of the pizza and the Jolly Ranchers and the chewy sweet tarts from Rollerama's snack bar. I remember couple skate and reverse direction and it's limbo time and slow skate and all skate. I remember skating to Journey and Quiet Riot and Def Leppard, and I know I'm really dating myself. I can picture the entire layout of the place circa 1985, and I just Googled it, and Rollerama still exists.
Get your disco balls out and your strobe lights. Give us your memories of the rink on Twitter. We're at The Takeaway. Thanks so much for skating with us. I'm Tanzina Vega. This is The Takeaway, and we'll see you tomorrow.
There's a lot going on right now. Mounting economic inequality, threats to democracy, environmental disaster, the sour stench of chaos in the air. I'm Brooke Gladstone, host of WNYC's On the Media. Want to understand the reasons and the meanings of the narratives that led us here, and maybe how to head them off at the pass? That's On the Media's specialty. Take a listen wherever you get your podcasts.